I don't know about you, but I am excited about this morning. It's a beautiful day, is it not?
Yes.
It's a good day to be alive. And, you know, I love seeing that video. It reminds me that sometimes we just need to slow down and stop for a moment and just look at all the amazing, beautiful things that are around us that God has blessed us with. I don't know about you, but as we sang worship this morning and talked about, we sang to God and we said, it's your breath in my lungs. I was reminded, God, thank you for my lungs that allow me to breathe in and out, breathe this beautiful air you've made. So, whew, big day. But I'm excited. I'm glad that you're here. If you are a guest with us, we're so glad that you're here. Today we're going to talk about something that's kind of family business. It's something that's important for every single one of us, no matter where you are in life, but it's something that applies to us as God's people. The title of my message this morning is called Connect Yourself. Turn to the person next to you and say, Connect Yourself. See, we live in a nation that is fiercely independent, don't we? I mean, we love to celebrate our Independence Day. I celebrate. We're thankful for our freedom that we have. But as God's people, we're also reminded of our need to be interdependent on one another and our need to be fully dependent on the Creator who's given us all good things. He's given us life. That's what we sing about. God, you gave me breath in my lungs, so I'm going to pour it out and give you praise because you're the one that's given me life. So we're reminded as an independent people, we got all these different ideas, we're independent and we should celebrate our freedom. But as followers of Jesus, we know that freedom really comes when we understand our dependence on Almighty God. And we will live in a place where we are interdependent with the fellow brothers and sisters that God has called us to live amongst in His church family. Can I get an amen? See, that is the truth. And this week, we're going to be concluding our series we've called Habits for Life. And we've looked at a couple different ideas of these habits that really bring life. Because sometimes we can miss the whole forest. We can look at a tree and we miss the whole forest. We miss the big picture of what God is doing. And these are habits that God says these things really matter. We've got to cultivate these. Not only are these habits that we need to cultivate for the whole of life, but these are habits that if we will cultivate them, they will bring life to our souls. They'll bring life to our bodies. And so we talked about the idea that if we want to receive from God, we've got to prepare ourselves. We talked about our root system and how we've got to have deep roots. We spent the last couple weeks talking about how we've got to feed ourselves. We've got to develop a system and a habit of coming to God's word, and not only why it's important, but how to do that. This morning, we're talking about the importance of connection. If you're taking notes, you can pull out your note sheet. The first fill in the blank and the big idea of this message is this. Connecting with God and other believers is essential to our spiritual growth. In other words, we cannot grow up spiritually unless we will allow ourselves to be connected to God and connected in Christian community. See, I love people. I love hanging out with people. People are fun. One of the things I love about people is that sometimes we kind of mess up. How many of you guys like to watch shows like America's Funniest Videos? You like to see videos of people doing some boneheaded stuff. I don't know why it is we like that, probably because we all relate. But here's a couple of things that actually appeared in church bulletins. These are train wrecks. But thankfully, they weren't in our church bulletin. But here's some things that were actually written in church bulletins. I love them. First one says this, don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. I don't think that's what they meant. The second one is, Thursday night potluck supper, prayer and medication to follow. I think they meant something else. Another one says, remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church and community. I don't think that's what they meant. Number four, for those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Punctuation matters, doesn't it? Number five, this afternoon there will be a meeting on the south and north ends of the church and children will be baptized at both ends. Number six, Tuesday at 4 p.m. there will be an ice cream social. All ladies giving milk will please come early. Number seven, Thursday at 5 p.m. there will be a meeting of the Little Mothers Club. All ladies wishing to be little mothers will meet with the pastor in his study. Number eight, the ladies of the church have cast off clothing of every kind. They can be seen in the church basement Saturday. I think they were talking about a clothing drive. I'm not sure. Number nine, a bean supper will be held Tuesday evening in the church hall, and music will follow. Not the music you're listening for. And finally, at the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, what is hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice. Love those. See, sometimes we step in it, don't we? We say things that we don't want to say. That's the part of being human. We make mistakes, and sometimes we do things that are not the best. But the reality is that God has created us for community with one another, warts and all, mistakes and all, flaws and all. And as genuine believers of Jesus Christ, we are all part of the capital C church. We are all part of the larger church of God. And while we are part of God's church, we are called to be connected to a local body, a local church family, where we can assemble for worship, for fellowship, for hanging out with one another, for edifying or encouraging one another, and to serve with and amongst one another. See, we've got brothers and sisters in different church families in our city and throughout the world. That's one of the reasons that we look at our brothers and sisters, our Baptist brothers and our Assemblies brothers, and these other men and women that serve, they're serving the Lord Jesus Christ with us. They're proclaiming his name until he returns again, and we can celebrate with them, and we can encourage them. But there's something to be said, something important, that God says we've got to have a call to a specific church family that we commit our lives to, a place that we go deep. A place that we go deep relationally, a place that we serve, a place that we give of our time and our talents and our treasure, that we say, God, I'm going to serve other people with the gifts that you've given me, and I'm going to give them my resources and support the mission that you've called. See, God uses so many different metaphors of the way that he calls us to live our lives. There's a couple that the scriptures use. God calls the church the family of God. He calls us that. Early Christians referred to each other as brother and sister, though they were not biologically brother and sister. They would call God our heavenly Father. And this idea that we were to be the family of God comes from Matthew 5 and many other places. Another example that the scriptures use, it calls us the body of Christ. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is our head, and we, though many, are many members, but one body of Christ. We see that in Romans 12 and elsewhere. The Bible also calls us God's flock. See, God calls himself the great shepherd that cares for his sheep. That's you and me. And God has assigned under shepherds to serve, to care for his flock. And those of us who have that charge carry that with great weightiness of responsibility because we are part of God's family. John 10 talks about that. And this morning we're going to talk about another one. It's the branches of Christ, that we are all kind of metaphorically part of one tree, one branch with many vines. John 15, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you have a Bible app, you can turn there as well. But God calls us like that, that we are the branches of Christ. John 15, we're going to read verses 1 through 2 and then 4 through 5. It says this, I am the true vine, and my Father, Jesus says, is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. There's a sermon right there. We could spend a month on that one, but let us continue. In fact, starting in verse 4, can you guys read this aloud with me? Ready, set. Are you guys ready? Okay, ready, set, go. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. There's something important, something essential for us to abide in Jesus, for us to stay connected to him. And connecting with God and with other believers, Jesus himself says is important to our spiritual development, important to us bearing fruit for him. So this morning I want to share just a couple of ideas. If you're taking notes, there's three, fill in the blanks. The first is this, why is connecting with community important? Because community sustains us. Community sustains us. Jesus tells us that he is the vine and we are his branches, and that together we connect with him and together he sustains us. Now, I don't know about you, but most of us aren't horticulturists. Most of us don't have a doctorate in how vines grow, but there's one thing that I do know, that when my boys are in the backyard and they rip a vine or rip a branch off of one of my trees, that sucker's dead, right? I mean, it looks alive because it just came off the tree, but when you disconnect it from the tree, it's no longer alive. And it's only a matter of time before you're going to start to see what the effects of that are. You're going to see there may be leaves on it, it may have fruit on it, but after a couple of days, it's going to start withering because it's no longer connected. And Jesus says, you and I are just like that. That if we are connected to him, connected to Jesus, and connected with other vines, others of us that are connected to Jesus, if we are connected, then we're going to thrive. Then we're going to bear fruit. Then we are going to show signs of life. But if we disconnect ourselves, we may look okay for a while, but we are going to stop bearing fruit. We're not going to be fruitful. See, Jesus shows us through this metaphor that he wants to be our sustainer. He wants to be the one that gives us life. And he uses this metaphor to underscore the importance of being connected to him through his body, also known as the church. See, apart from him and his vine, we are unable to retain life. We're unable to stay alive, and we're unable to produce fruit. You know, this past Wednesday, my wife and I, we celebrated 15 years of marriage. Woo! Sometimes I look at my wife and I think, God, what did I do? How did I deserve such an awesome one? But anyways, I definitely married up. But every year, I'm always like, okay, what should I get her for our anniversary? And I'm always thinking I should get her some flowers. But I'll never forget, you know, many years ago when we started having kids, she said, don't stop buying me flowers. Buy me a plant that'll actually grow. Because I always felt weird about I bought her flowers, by the way, this year, because they were beautiful. But I always feel weird handing her flowers. It's like, here, honey, as a symbol of our love that's alive and not dead, here's something that's dead. Here's something that's going to wither and go away and will die. It always feels weird to me. Maybe I'm morbid in my thinking, but, you know, you get flowers and they look beautiful, but when you think about it, a flower, after it's been cut off of the plant, it's dead. I mean, it's just, we can prolong it. We can put that little food in there and change the water and cut the stems at the right angles, but they're dead. We're only buying ourselves time. And I think sometimes that can be us if we're not careful. It may look all right. Our lives look put together from the outside. We might have the aroma of a live flower or fruitfulness in our lives. But we've disconnected ourselves from our source. And as a result, man, we're dying. Spiritually, we're not growing anymore. And it can happen to many of us in many different ways. I love the metaphor. Again, we're not a horticulturist, but plant people have this way of grafting in plants that have been cut down. They can graft in a tree into another tree and make it grow. And Jesus says to us that he wants to graft us in. He wants to connect us to himself. And so very often we forget that idea. See, the vine allows the branches to bear fruit. It doesn't matter if it's a grape tree or grape, whatever you call those things, vine. Or you call it, it's an apple tree or some sort of other fruit-bearing tree. The vine allows it to grow, and it allows it to bear fruit. And God wants our lives to bear fruit for him. See, this morning later, we're going to take communion, and it's our reminder that we need something beyond ourselves to retain life. I believe that's why God gave us hunger. That's why God didn't just make us self-sustaining beings, that we have a need beyond ourselves to live. And God himself wants to remind us of that every time we come to the Lord's table, that we need to remember that it is only through his death that we really live. Because God wants us to have everything we need. Here's what Ephesians says. Ephesians 5:29-30 says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body." What he's saying is that Jesus himself is the one that nourishes his church. He's the one that supplies us with everything we need. We need not look to your pastor. You don't need to look to somebody else. You need only to look to Jesus because he's the one that nourishes us. So what does Jesus nourish and cherish? The church. Who is the church? Where is the church? Is the church a building? No, we're the church. And Jesus wants to nourish and sustain us. Tell him, turn to the person next to you and say, he wants to nourish you. See, if we will connect our lives, if we will connect ourselves to God and his people, he'll take care of our needs. He'll sustain us and make us fruitful, even when we don't understand or know how. And this is the big reason that I think God uses all these metaphors, because he's trying to get us to understand this idea that we are made to live with one another. That's why he says that he's the shepherd and we're the flock. There's not just one sheep, there's many sheep. That's why he says, I'm the head and you are the body with many parts. There's lots of parts, but there's one body. That's why God says, yeah, I'm the vine and you're the branches. How many trees have you ever seen with just one branch? It's pretty pathetic if you see one of those, right? It's like it needs to be cut down. It's not living anymore. See, God gives us these models because he wants us to understand that we are made to be connected with him together. See, Proverbs 27:17, one of my favorite scriptures, says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's what it says in the NIV. See, we are built to walk with one another, to sharpen each other, to rub shoulders with one another, to be connected to that same vine, but to encourage one another as we walk. My dad used to always say, four eyes are better than two. We'd be looking for something, he'd say, well, help me look, because four eyes are better than two. And that is the truth, that there's things that we can do together that you and I can't do on our own. And God has called us to walk together a while as we walk on this earth, to share life together, because, yeah, four eyes are better than two, but 100 eyes are better than two as well. And we need every one of us doing our role. So connecting sustains us. The second thing we learn is that connecting is not an optional thing. Say that with me, connection is not optional. That was really weak. Connecting is not optional. Good. You guys sound good. John 15:4 says, the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. We can't bear fruit by ourselves. We can't do it on our own. We have to stay connected to Jesus and stay connected with the other branches. We've got to abide in Jesus. You know, the book of Revelation, we're not going to turn there now, but in chapter 14 talks about a vine of the earth that bears fruit, that God says, I'm going to harvest that at the end of time, and I'm going to pour out my wrath on those that are on that vine. But God wants us to be connected to him. He wants us to be connected to him. See, we believe when Jesus said very clearly, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We believe that Jesus is who he says he is. See, there's not many roads to God as some believe. There's only one way to God, and it's Jesus Christ. And God wants us to be connected to him in such a way that we'll bear fruit. And here's the deal, friends. God doesn't allow solo Christianity. He doesn't allow us to just do it on our own. Some of us like this idea, man, I'm a maverick. I'm just going to go out and tread new ground for God. But God does not allow that. God doesn't allow spiritual free agents, us to just go on our own. He wants us to be connected with others. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, I love it. He says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. See, God doesn't allow spiritual free agents, but the devil loves them. See, the adversary, the enemy of our soul, yeah, we believe that there is a real devil. See, the Bible talks about angels and fallen angels we call demons. And we believe that they are real. They're not just some fictional fairy tale that angels and demons exist. Then there is a real fallen angel called the devil. And though God has a plan for our lives, so does he. And it's his desire to draw us away from God, to draw us away from worshiping and putting our praise and honor to God, to say, God, I don't want to do it your way, but he wants to draw us to say, do it your own way. I did it my way. Sorry. He wants to draw us to do it our own way. And Again, God doesn't allow free agents spiritually, but the devil loves them. And one of the things I've seen over the last many years is a rising number of people that say, man, I love Jesus, I just don't like the church. Man, I love that perfect God, but those imperfect people that are his followers, I'm not so sure about them. I'll just do it my own way. And God says, no, we need one another. That's not an optional part of our faith. It's not an optional part of what we do. When you read the pages of the New Testament, there's so many scriptures that talk about how we do life with one another. It says, those one another's. Just look for the word one another in your scriptures. You'll find a million of them. And one of the biggest problems with that is that when we say, God, I love you, but I'm not so sure about your people, it begins with spiritual pride, with me saying, well, I'm better than all those other people. And pride is one of the biggest things that an enemy wants us to have. Pride is the reason that Satan fell away. Because he said, I don't want to worship God. I want God to worship me. I want others to serve me. And one of the things that I found is that there's a lot of metaphors in the pages of Scripture, but God describes our adversary like a wolf. And I love studying animals and how they work and operate. And one of the things I know about wolves is that they will not attack a giant pack of animals, but instead they wait. They wait on the outskirts, and they wait for one of the animals to leave the herd, to fall behind or to wander astray. And what a wolf pack will do is when they find that animal, then they will surround that animal with overwhelming odds, and they'll destroy it. And our enemy does exactly the same thing in us. In fact, God warns one of the first sheep among us, our big brother Cain, one of the first children of man. God warns him of this attack and this sort of thing. This is what he says in Genesis 4:7. I love it. He says, Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin, it's crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it, he says to him. Now, we know that Cain didn't listen to God. He decided, God, I got this figured out. I don't need your warning. I don't need your advice. I don't need your counsel. I'm going to do it my way. And of course, ultimately, we know that sin that was crouching at the door jumped on him. See, we have to prioritize our time for connecting with other people and connecting with God. Hebrews says that we should not neglect our meeting in Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another with love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. See, we've got to be intentional about prioritizing our time connecting with God and his people, because the things of life will crowd us out. Can I get an amen? There is a lot of good stuff, a lot of fun stuff, a lot of interesting stuff we could spend our time doing. And so we've got to make it a habit to connect ourselves with God's people. So we've got to do it because it's not optional, because it sustains us. The third thing, reason we've got to connect ourselves is because, quite honestly, we'd be incomplete without you. We'd be incomplete without you. See, that may be a stretch. We've got Jesus. He's enough. He's sufficient for us. But the Bible tells us that God has uniquely gifted each one of the members of his body to do a certain role, a certain function. And the reality is that we need you and your gifts. Now, here's the thing that I know. I believe God has called this church to be a great light in Simi Valley, to reach many thousands of people in our city over the course of time. I don't know how that's going to look. I don't know what that's going to look like. But let me just tell you something, friends. It's going to take you, and it's going to take the gift that God has put inside of you. It's going to take each one of us saying, God, I'm here. I might not have the biggest gift. I might not have the gift that I really want. But God, I've got what I've got, and I want to use it for your glory. Man, I saw so many people come together for our VBS in the last week, and man, doing things that they never thought they could do, and it was awesome to see people operating in gifts. And some people just saying, well, this isn't my gift, but I'm going to do it anyways because there's a need. Don't you know in a family sometimes that's the way it works? Yeah, sometimes in this family, God needs me to be a teacher, and sometimes he needs me to fix a toilet. You know what I'm saying? There's times when God needs me to preach a message, and there's times where he needs me to sweep a broom. You know what I'm saying? And in families, that's the way it works. See, God wants to bless others through your gifts. And it's going to take us saying, God, I am willing to use whatever you've given me to do whatever it is you want to do. See, sometimes our body needs someone with a particular gift, but sometimes we're just needing someone that's willing to say, I'm here, would you put me in? I'm here, would you? Do you need help? And it's amazing what happens when all of God's people will say that, when all of God's people will say, hey, I'm connected, I'm here, what do you need? It's amazing the things that can happen, because the reality is that we each play a different part. We have a different role and a different function. Romans 12, I'm just going to read it real quickly, says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. We've got to use our gifts. Let me ask you the question, what is the role that God has put inside of you? What is the gift that he's put inside of you? See, being a Christian and being part of the family of God is all about connecting ourselves to God and connecting ourselves, intertwining our lives as those branches would do. You look at a tree, those branches don't all grow in individual directions. Man, they're intertwined. There's all sorts of interplay that's there, and God wants us to do just that. See, we have to operate where we fit. We've got to find our place. Say, God, what would you have me do? The reality, Ephesians 4, and I'm not going to go there, but Ephesians 4, 15 through 16, I'm going to have you read that this week. It talks about this idea that we've got to allow our lives to work together, that if we will all work in the place that God has put us, then it's going to cause our body to grow. That we only grow as a church family when each one of us are flexing our muscles and doing our part and sharing the gifts that God has put in us. And let me ask you the question, what is it that prevents you, that holds you back from using the gifts that God's put in you? See, some of us have bought into the idea that, man, I can just go to church and listen and I don't have to be the church all throughout the week. And God has called us to be his church, to be his hands and his feet in our workplaces and our neighborhoods. And I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I don't have the energy to do that on my own. I don't have the strength or the wisdom to do that all by myself. I need other people to come with me. And that's why we've got community groups and others to help us in that journey of faith. See, I don't know about you, but I need to come in every week and be recharged, to engage in worship and to remind my soul that the breath in those lungs aren't mine. It's not mine to do with what I want, but it's his. And there's times where we need to do just that. We need to say, God, I need a recharge. God, I need to be sharpened. And as iron sharpens iron, the scriptures say, so one man sharpens another. We've got to allow ourselves to come in close proximity on a regular basis, not just for our monthly tune-up, not just for our weekly tune-up, but to say, God, I need to be filled up for the journey that you have for me. See, maybe you've been some sort of maverick Christian believing that you could do this thing all alone. Friend, that's exactly what the enemy of your soul wants. He wants you to be separated from the pack of God, from the flock of God, detached from the vine that Jesus wants to sustain your life with. And we've got to resist that. We've got to say, no, I'm going to make a habit to connect myself. To connect myself in the gatherings and connect myself to a community of a small group that's going to nourish my soul. And connect myself daily through Bible reading and coming to God and talking to him. See, the reality is that none of us Christians are perfect, but we need each other. See, none of us have it all figured out. That's why we need to walk with one another. See, as Ecclesiastes says, when one of us falls, we need someone to pick us up. I don't know about you, but when I fall down, I want someone to help me back up. And we all need that in our lives. The reality is we need you and we need your gifts. The gifts that God has placed inside of you are not for you. They're for the person to your left and to your right, the person in the row in front of you and behind you, the person that God has sent you to. Some of us are hoarding our gifts, and God says, would you give them away? Would you use them for my glory? The question is, will you Will you rise to that? Will you say, God, here am I. Use me. Here's my gifts. I'm not gonna grip them tightly anymore and say they're mine. But I'm gonna open my hands. Quite honestly, just as Pastor Kyle encouraged us in worship, I'm gonna open my arms and say, Lord, would you take whatever it is you want? Would you use my life in the way? Would you fill me up? But would you also use me however you want? Would you bow with me as we conclude our time in prayer? Bow your heads and close your eyes. See, as we conclude our time together today, I believe God is speaking to many of us through his word. He says, he is the vine and we are his branches. And as we gather together in Jesus' name, I believe God was speaking something to each one of us. In a few moments, we're going to receive of Holy Communion, but as we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us, that he has supplied all of our needs. But before we do, with every head bowed in this place, I want to make a space and opportunity. If there's anyone here that's never taken that first step of faith, see, we believe what Jesus said, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Some of you might have said, well, I've never been connected to the source. I've never been connected to that vine. And I want to make that first step of faith. Jesus says, it's a free gift. We receive it by faith. Jesus said, if you will acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But he also said, if you don't, I won't. So if that's you, you say, I want to acknowledge Jesus. I want to receive his free gift of grace today. I've never done that. I want to connect my life to that vine. If that's you today, with every other head bowed and eye closed, I'm going to ask you to raise up your hand. Let our eyes meet. I just want to agree with you in prayer. I won't call you down front or do anything weird. But if that's you, with every head bowed and eye closed, would you lift up your eyes? Lift up your hand right now in this room. Anyone in this place, from front to the back. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you save us by grace. That we don't have to be perfect to come to you. That your free gift of grace is received simply by saying yes to you, Jesus. We thank you. Bless your name. Amen. We're going to receive a Holy Communion together in just a moment. Our ushers are going to come. I'm going to